Now we will have a word of prayer. If you join me, please. Heavenly Father, on this blessed Easter Sunday, we come before you with hearts full of gratitude and joy. We rejoice in the resurrection of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we gather with loved ones and fellow believers, we are reminded of the glorious victory over sin and death that he accomplished on the cross. Lord, we thank you for the promise of new life and the hope that Easter brings. Your mercy and grace shine brightly on this day, illuminating our lives with the warmth of your love. May we never forget the incredible sacrifice of Jesus and the profound significance of his triumph over the grave. On this sacred day, fill our hearts with the joy of the resurrection. Help us to experience the transformative power of your love, renewing our spirits and strengthening our faith. As we celebrate together, may the message of Easter resonate deeply within us, inspiring us to live as reflections of your grace and compassion. As we rejoice in the miracle of Easter, we lift our prayers for those who may be struggling, those who are lonely, or those who are in despair. May your comforting presence be with them, bringing healing and hope. Use us, Lord, as instruments of your peace and vessels of your love in the world. We dedicate this Easter Sunday to you, grateful for the promise of redemption and the assurance of your unfailing love. May our lives be a testament to the power of your resurrection as we seek to follow you faithfully. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Christ is risen. Yes. The reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 36 to 43. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened through the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. May God bless to us this reading from his word. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. For those who don't know me, my name is Matt Gordon, and I serve as the pastor here at Milford Baptist Church. And I just want to extend a warm invite to you. If this is your home church, or if you're visiting with family or friends, it's lovely to have you here with us today. And please find yourself incredibly welcome. If you have children, there are clipboards that are down the back of the church by the cross in the corner, and you're more than welcome to get a clipboard for your children. I'm not going to speak for too long, only an hour, so don't worry about that. Isn't it great to be here today? Well, there was a priest who found a branch of a thorn tree twisted around so that it resembled a crown of thorns. Thinking it a symbol of the crucifixion, he placed it on the altar in his chapel on Good Friday. Early on Easter morning, Sunday morning, he remembered what he had done. Feeling it was not appropriate for Easter Sunday, he hurried into the church to clear it away before the congregation came. But when he went into the church, he found the thorn branches blossoming with beautiful roses. Welcome to the celebration of Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. The thorns of Good Friday have blossomed into the roses of resurrection. Christ the Lord is risen. Indeed, indeed. There's a pastor called Cameron Smith who tells a wonderful story. It's about the only white person in the state of Georgia buried in a cemetery reserved exclusively for African Americans. This man had lost his mother when he was just a baby. His father, who never married again, hired a black woman named Mandy to help raise his son. She was a Christian woman who took her job seriously. Seldom has a motherless boy received such warm-hearted attention and affection. One of his earliest memories was of Mandy bending tenderly over him in his upstairs bedroom at the beginning of each day and softly saying, "Wake up, God's morning is come." As the years passed, this devoted woman continued to serve as his surrogate mother. The young man went away to college, but when he would come home on holidays and in the summer, she would still climb the stairs and she would still call him in the same loving manner. One day, after he had become a successful statesman, he turned the right age when the sad message came, "Mandy is dead. Can you attend her funeral?" As he stood by her grave in the cemetery, he turned to his friends and said, "If I die before Jesus comes back, I want to be buried right here next to Mandy. I like to think that on Resurrection Day, she'll speak to me again and say, 'Wake up, my boy, God's morning is come.'" It's my joyful privilege to say to you this morning that God's morning has come, against all odds. You probably know the story very well. On Friday, Jesus was flogged, beaten, and crucified until he was dead. They took his lifeless body from the cross, and they laid him in a borrowed tomb. Soldiers were ordered to stand guard around that tomb, outside it. But on Sunday morning, it was the woman who were closest to him who came to the tomb to anoint his body with spices, and they found that the stone was rolled away, and Jesus' body was no longer there. An angel told them he had risen, as he said. Imagine hearing that. Would you believe it? Well, then the risen Christ began making a series of appearances to his followers, starting with Mary Magdalene and then his disciples. I want you to listen to the scripture again that Stephen read out for us, because one of them, Simon Peter, gives his first-person testimony to these extraordinary events. Acts chapter 10, verses 36 to 43. Peter says, "You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God has appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." This is the event that we celebrate today, none other than the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. There will always be those who doubt his resurrection, though. And that's not surprising. It is an amazing story, isn't it? Some will contend it as a hoax. There was a mysterious, fuzzy, black and white photograph that appeared in London's Sunday Telegraph in 1934. It caused enormous excitement. The picture showed a long neck and head rising from the murky waters off Loch Ness. Photographed by a physician, Robert Wilson, it appeared to be an extinct dinosaur. Some claim the photo depicted the Loch Ness monster. But many people remain skeptical. The truth is that Nessie did prove to be a harmless hoax. A man named Christian Sperling confessed his role in the fake photography just before he died in November 1994. The monster had been fabricated from a 14-inch toy submarine upon which Marmaduke Reverell, Sperling's stepfather, attached a long neck and a small head fashioned from plastic wood. The two floated the model into the shallows and they made the photograph. Wilson became the front man for the deception. To this day, there are still people who travel to Loch Ness to try to capture a look at the Loch Ness monster. When it comes to the resurrection of Jesus, is it a hoax or is it our hope? Some people have tried to label it as a hoax, like the Loch Ness monster. But I have to tell you, they are up against some overwhelming evidence. There were more than 500 eyewitnesses to Christ's resurrection. That's all of us in this room times about four or five. Were they making it up? Was some kind of conspiracy going on? Consider this story. Former Watergate conspirator and now a respected Christian writer, Chuck Colson, says it is preposterous to think that. He says all you have to do is look at the Watergate conspiracy in which he was involved. He notes that Watergate was a conspiracy perpetuated by the closest aides to the President of the United States of America, the most powerful men in America, who were intensely loyal to their president at the time. But one of them, named John Dean, turned state's evidence, and that is, he testified against President Nixon, as he put it, to save his own skin. And he did so only 2 weeks after informing the president about what was really going on. Just 2 weeks. The cover-up, the lie, could only be held together for 2 weeks, and then everybody else jumped ship in order to save themselves. Colson goes on to say this: these disciples, these 12 powerless men, peasants really, were facing not just embarrassment or political disgrace, but they were facing beatings, stonings, execution. In other words, they were facing death. Even political zealots at the pinnacle of power will save their own necks, even at the expense of the ones they profess to serve so loyally. He continues, the apostles could not deny Jesus because they had seen him face to face and they knew he had risen from the dead. You can take it from an expert in cover-ups, says Colson. Nothing less than a resurrected Christ could have caused those men to maintain to their dying whispers that Jesus is alive and Jesus is Lord. And that is why we are here today, to celebrate Resurrection Sunday. He is risen. What does that mean? What does it mean to you, to me, to us? Well, it means more than anything else that we no longer need to fear death. Jesus has gone before us. Consider this story. A Christian woman was confined to bed in a nursing home. She was ill, and there were times when she became so over-anxious that in order to keep this dear woman from falling out of her bed, she was strapped in literally to her bed. Above the bed was a sign that read this: this patient must be restrained at all times. Her daughter said this broke her heart to see it and to see her mother like this. Every time she went to see her mother, she cried as her mother asked her, begged her to be released so that she might be free from the bondage of her bed. The mother died. The daughter said the first thing she did when her mother died was to walk into that room, take the sign off the wall, tear it up, throw it away, and say, thank God she is free at last. Friends, this is the message of Easter. Because of Jesus, we are free at last. We no longer need to fear death. We no longer need to fear anything, and we will be reunited with our loved ones in Christ. I know there are people in this room who will tell you that they have lost a loved one to death and they miss that one very, very much. There is a void in their hearts that nothing will ever fill. But still they also acknowledge that death came as liberation, as freedom to the person whom they love. Even though they miss them with every part of their being, they know just as surely that the person they loved is better off now than if they had lingered. We always want to hold on to those that we love. But Easter says to us that we can entrust those that we love to God. They are not gone from us forever. They await us on the other side. Just like Jesus is as well. He made a way for us. He freed us by paying the ultimate penalty, the ultimate price. And he did it willingly. Let me finish with this story. One Easter morning, a pastor came to the church carrying a rusty, bent old birdcage, and he set it by the pulpit. Several eyebrows were raised, and as if in response to this, he began to speak to the people. I was walking through town yesterday when I saw a young boy coming towards me swinging this birdcage. On the bottom of the cage were three little wild birds, shivering with cold and fright. I stopped the lad and I asked, "What you got there, son?" "Just some old birds," came the reply. "What are you going to do with them?" I asked. "I'm going to take them home and have fun with them," he answered. "I'm going to tease them and pull out their feathers to make them fight. I'm going to have a real good time with them." "But you'll get tired of those birds sooner or later. What will you do then?" "Oh, I've got some cats," said the little boy. "They like birds. I'll take them to them." The pastor was silent. And then he spoke. "How much do you want for those birds, son?" "Huh? Why, you don't want them birds, mister. They're just plain old field birds. They don't sing. They ain't even pretty." "How much?" the pastor asked him again. The boy looked up the pastor as if he was crazy and said, $10. The pastor reached into his pocket, took out a $10 note. He placed it in the boy's hand, and in a flash, the boy was gone. The pastor picked up the cage and gently carried it to the end of the alley where there was a tree and a grassy spot. Setting the cage down, he opened the door and by softly tapping on the bars, persuaded the birds out, setting them free. Well, that explained the empty birdcage on the pulpit. And then the pastor began to tell them this story. One day, Satan and Jesus were having a conversation. Satan had just come from the Garden of Eden, and he was gloating and he was boasting. "Yes, sir, I just caught the world full of people down there. Set me a trap. Used some bait I knew they couldn't resist. I got them all." "What are you going to do with them?" Jesus asked. Satan replied, "Oh, I'm going to have fun. I'm going to teach them how to marry and divorce each other, how to hate and abuse one another, how to drink and smoke and curse. I'm going to teach them how to invent guns and bombs and kill each other. I'm really going to have fun." "What will you do when you get done with them?" Jesus asked. "I'll kill them," Satan said proudly. "How much do you want for them?" Jesus asked. "Oh, you don't want those people. They ain't no good. Why, you'll take them, and they'll just hate you. They'll spit on you. They'll curse you. They'll kill you. You don't want those people." "How much?" he asked again. Satan looked at Jesus, and he sneered at him. "All your tears and all your blood." Jesus said, "Done." Then he paid the price. The pastor picked up the cage. He opened the door. And he walked from the pulpit. Friends, the message of Easter is it is done. It is done. Jesus paid the price. And on that first Easter Sunday morning, he picked up the cage, opened the door, and set us free. What we can say about Jesus is that he came, he suffered, but ultimately he conquered. He conquered it all. Sin, suffering, and death. So we can give thanks this Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, because it is done and God's morning truly has come. It's not a hoax. It's the most important truth on earth. Jesus has conquered death and he lives again. The disciples knew this because they knew Jesus. So the question I have for you today is this. Do you know Jesus? Do you know him? It's that simple. Do you know him? If not, his invitation to you is to come to him today, to accept him into your life, to believe that he is the Son of God, and to believe that God raised him from the dead. Friends, we need not fear death ever again. It is done. God's morning has come. Christ Jesus is risen from the dead, and that changes everything. Let's pray. Jesus, today is a day of celebration and liberation because you came, you died, and you rose again. And you appeared to your disciples and you appeared to hundreds of others. You showed the world that you had defeated sin, death, and the enemy. And so today we get to join with millions and millions across the globe who celebrate that you have come, that God's morning is here, and that it is done. Father, there are some of us here today who don't know Jesus, and I pray that today would be the day where we would accept you, Jesus, where we would follow you, where we would give you our lives. And there's some of us here today who are far from Jesus. We've walked with you, but we're struggling. And so, Lord, may today be the day that we come close to you, that we respond to your extravagant love that you have shown through your cross. And Lord, there's some of us here who have followed you and still follow you today obediently and faithfully. Would you refresh us? Would you renew us? Would you pour your Spirit out on us? And Lord, for those of us here today that are missing loved ones, help us to know that they are with you and that we will see them again one day. Jesus, today is about you. We lift up your name high and we say that you have overcome and it is truly done. Use us, we pray. In your name. Amen. Amen.